This is Company Cars, the podcast that tries to make sense of the car business. Hello, and welcome to another episode of Company Cars. On this episode, we have an interview with the Alberts family, Jeff, Maria, and Stephanie, who are dear friends of mine, and we are chatting about what it's like to buy a car immediately before the pandemic in October 2019, and contrast it with what it's like to buy a car in 2022. And so with both Stephanie and Jeff and Maria, I worked with them to find what car suited their needs the best and fit into their budget the most, and also worked with them throughout the buying process. And so on this episode, we'll also have another rental car roulette after the interview. And it's a car that I've reviewed before, but I'm once again revisiting because this car has been refreshed and updated since the car's first appearance on Rental Car Roulette. And so I hope you enjoy our interview. All right. Hello, Alberts family. It's very nice to have you all on the podcast. And so to get us started, before we talk about your car buying experience, if you don't mind introducing yourselves and just giving a little overview about what things you're interested in and why you needed to buy a new car, then that'd be a great place to start.
I feel like I should go first.
There you go.
I'm Stephanie Alberts. I am the friend of Jesse. And we met back in Atlanta several years ago through mutual friends and then reconnected living both in Austin together. And of course, we're still friends today. I needed to buy a new car in 2018 because I sadly got in a car accident and couldn't keep just riding public transportation anymore.
Okay, I'm Maria Alberts. I'm Stephanie's mom. And we recently had to do a car search because our son was in a car accident and he needed the car more than I did because we live in the city. But at some point we knew we needed a new car anyway. So I gave him my old car and we started the search for the new car for me.
Hi, I'm Jeff Alberts. I'm Stephanie's dad. And normally I'm the research big purchase guy, but based on the experience that Stephanie got with Jesse, we decided to use him to help with our car purchase as well.
Great. So as you're setting out to think about what car you wanted, how did you, I guess, start the conversation, or what were the big things on your mind as you were thinking about what car to buy?
Unsurprisingly for me, I was very interested in safety features. After the car accident, I was really interested, especially in the braking that it does for you if you get too close to a car, which is how I got into a car accident. So the safety features of Toyota and Honda just kind of grabbed me initially. And we've also always grown up with Toyota cars.
Yeah, so we also own a minivan and we have a very interesting height differential. So I'm 5'1", Jeff is 6'3". So it's kind of better for us to have a car that has more height, especially for Jeff, but I like to sit up high as well. I'm more comfortable driving that way. So I wanted a car that, you know, that I can be comfortable in and I could see from a height as well as my husband.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah. And I usually focus on the used cars because that was really where you got a lot of bang for your buck. But during the process, I found out that things are quite a bit different, Jesse, buying a car now than when you work with Stephanie buying a car just a few years ago.
All right, great. And so as you were starting on your journeys of figuring out what cars to look at and what you wanted to try out, what were the factors that convinced you a particular car was for you, and what was that car? And I guess, what was the feature that convinced you that was the one?
I know what won me over. It was the screen size you got on the on the Corolla. Oh my gosh, no car on the market compared to it. It's like a TV without having a Tesla, honestly.
Yeah, and for us, we were specifically looking for a smaller SUV. So something bigger than a car, but smaller than the minivan that we have. And again, having the height, But what we ultimately picked out was the Mazda CX-5 because it had room for both of us, but it also had a kind of a neat bunch of settings, such as we can set our seats to the right height. Had a lot of safety features, like when you cross the lane, it'll warn you about that, and just a lot of features that we've never seen before in a car.
Yeah, there's one thing Maria liked too, is she liked our old minivan because she got to sit up high and had a much better view of the road. Mm-hmm. But we did not want something that big at all. And then in addition to that, we have a small little place up in the mountains that we go to, which is a lot of fun to get there, but a little bit harrowing on those mountain roads. And the roads are very tiny, so we wanted something with like an all-wheel drive type of thing that was smaller, that we could better navigate the roads more safely.
So as you were test driving different cars or looking at different choices, what was your experience like at the dealership? And I think here we'll probably talk about a little bit about how that experience was different for each of you as you were trying cars.
Yes, well, I guess I'll plug one more Jesse sale. My best friend has the exact same car as me, the 2020 Toyota Corolla that Jesse also helped acquire for her. So she had just recently gone through the process about 6 months before me. So I take her word pretty strongly as well. So she said, "Have you tried the 2020 Toyota Corolla? You have to drive it. It's so much better." So we had gone to a CarMax one day just to try out some used cars to see if I liked a Honda Civic, the Camry, although I had learned that the Camrys had kind of gone smaller through the years. And just driving the 2020 Corolla at the dealership as well, with them plugging all the features as you're driving, just kind of sold it.
Yeah, I would say that the dealership process is an interesting one. Like, again, I would be the one kind of to do the research and go in. And Jesse, I never liked the idea of sitting in that room with the manager, you know, when they, you know, give you a price and then they say, "I don't think so." And then they go back to their manager. And, you know, then you might get talked into other features that you don't want. So we were looking for something different than that. And that's why I enjoyed working with you, because you kind of took a lot of the work for us, and that made it much more pleasurable.
So, yeah, the way we had about five cars that we were actually considering. One was the Mazda CX-5, but we also had the Honda CR-V, the Hyundai Sonata Tucson. Go back.
Sure.
They've got very detailed notes, by the way.
Yeah, the Nissan Rogue. Yeah, it was, thank you. The Nissan Rogue. So we actually went to each of those dealers while we were visiting my folks in Florida, and were able to test drive each one. I got to say, though, that going to a dealership now is very interesting because a lot of them don't have inventory anymore. The only one that I thought had a substantial inventory was the Hyundai dealer. The Mazda had literally nothing, but we were able to test drive one CX-5. So when we were able to test drive the cars, you know, we got kind of the feel. Again, you know, what's important for us is that we can both fit in it comfortably and still have the space that we wanted. So, you know, that was a consideration as well. But each of the dealerships, you know, I think nowadays they don't have to hard sell as much as they used to, only because there's no inventory. So it's really a seller's market now. But, you know, we did get a lot of follow up from the dealerships. And, you know, we just did not want to be haggling with dealerships. That's why we decided to work with you.
And Stephanie, how was your experience at CarMax, just having the chance to try all these different things back to back like that?
Completely confusing. I don't know if it was also this particular CarMax, but I feel like we walked in and were completely forgotten immediately. So someone led us out to look at a car and then said, "Actually, I'm going to go grab someone else. I have another client waiting." And then no one ever came to us. So I think we had to come back inside, beg them to let us test drive a car. I swear one of them even smelled like smoke. So it was already just a little bad taste in my mouth figuratively and literally.
So when you were, as you were test driving all of these different cars, I guess what, how did you think about comparing how each car felt to you?
I could truly feel it as soon as I sat in the seat. You know, like when I drove them, and I drove a 2004 Toyota Camry before this, so basically everything felt completely better. Everything had working brakes, could accelerate quickly. So as soon as I sat in the seat and could feel like my mom too, I'm pretty short, so I like to sit up just a little bit higher if I can, and then where like the console was and the screen, and if I could read the dashboard very clearly, I just felt it in that moment. So the test drive afterwards wasn't as indicative to me.
Yeah, the one thing I'll mention, and I won't mention the name of the car, Jesse, but there was one car in our category of the compact SUVs that was rated very, very highly, okay? And also, just to give you a little background, the reason that I settled on those four or five that Maria mentioned was I looked at the Kelley Blue Book, Motor Trend, and Car and Driver, okay? And I did a little spreadsheet myself, and there was one car, which is one we ended up getting, that was like in the top four or five of all of them. And one that was very well rated, very well known. We went to a dealership. We actually drove the cars when we went to visit my in-laws in Florida. So that was another no pressure thing for us, because we knew even if we fell in love with one, we're not gonna buy a car in Florida when we live in Georgia. So that's where we did all our test driving. But there was one of the group that we didn't even drive, because I got into the passenger seat since it will be Maria's car. She's gonna be chauffeuring me around a lot. And I, with my height, I couldn't even fit in the seat. And Maria looks over to me and she goes, okay, we're done here. Let's get out of the next car. So that was quite shocking to me that there was one. And it's, was, you know, I'm sure it was a lovely car, but I didn't fit in it. So that took that off the list.
All right. Yeah. So I guess at this point, we've brought it up a little bit that I was, that there was some involvement from me up to this point, but I guess how would you describe, I guess, my involvement in your thought process up to this point? So up to kind of the stage of test driving and choosing a car that you wanted.
I feel like Jesse was my process. Again, just because, you know, Natalie, my best friend, had done it just 6 months before and raved that Jesse did the most incredible job. I came in with some ideas. I knew I wanted a smaller sedan. I knew I wanted a certain budget, but I wasn't sold on new. I thought I was going to get a used car, as we had only had used cars growing up. And I gave Jesse my budget. And that's when he said, I'm going to need you to just pivot and think about if you want a new car, because for $1,000 more, I can get you a new car. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden, my dad's extensive research went out the door, because he'd only looked up best used cars. So all of a sudden we had to think about new. And I think that's when I just got sold on the Toyota Corolla, just because Natalie loved it so much. And as soon as I sat in, I loved all the features.
I'll just jump in too. I was skeptical at first, because I thought, how could a new car be just about the same money? So during the process, I told Stephanie, all right, I'm going to go into the dealership and let's just see what they try to pull at the last minute, you know? And you had walked her through the whole process, like what to expect. And I kept thinking in the back of my mind, okay, now is when they're going to go, oh, we don't have that car, Stephanie, but we do have a car for $5,000 more. And it never happened. The car was delivered as it was. It was in perfect shape. She couldn't have been happier.
I think the most important part in the process for me, I mean, of course, you acquired the car for an incredible price, but getting me to change my mindset was a big deal, because I was kind of pretty set on a particular used car. That was all I wanted. And you were like, let me show you the world of cars. And from there, you can think a little bit better about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think the best part is, you know, you acting as a broker, that we didn't have to deal with calling multiple dealerships, going back and forth and say, hey, he gave me this price, now what are you going to do? So you did all of that, which really worked out well. And, you know, you knew our budget. You also validated that our choice in the Mazda was a good one. So, you know, your feedback and your experience, you know, with cars you know, certainly helped us to say, okay, fine, let's just focus on this car.
Jesse, you know that the dealers also thought you were my boyfriend with how involved you were in the process. They kept saying, like, is your boyfriend going to be here today?
I think they thought I was Natalie's boyfriend too.
Yes, they're like, no friend would ever do this. It's obviously a committed boyfriend. Yeah.
And you know what, as a matter of fact, when we walked into the dealership, of course, the salesperson was there waiting for us right there. And he said, like midway through the process, he realizing, wait, Jesse isn't buying the car, there's yes. somebody else. And he actually was very interested in your process. I think he's looking to do this on the side or something.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess, how did this process up to this point, so we haven't gotten to the part where we kind of find the right exact car, but how did the process change your view on how you think about buying a car? And then we'll, I guess, pivot into the next question of, once you decided on a car, how did you feel about how the process unfolded in terms of selecting a dealer and a specific car?
I would say, going through the process, I realized that the way to go, especially if you're getting a new car, is to do exactly what the process you guided us through. You know, determine, you know, do your research, of course, first, but, you know, coming up with a make, model, you know, the trim package, the colors, and then contacting the dealerships. And perhaps a lot of young people know that already. It was newer to Marie and I, but after going through that process, that certainly changed my mind that there's more than one way to really effectively get a great car at a great price.
Yeah, and again, I think it's kind of the really focusing on what's important in looking for a car, because you could spend a year like researching cars and figuring out what you want, but you know, just to kind of ask yourself the right questions about what's important and what, you know, what you really need, really kind of helps narrow the choice down. And then it makes it a lot easier once you're decided on the car, the features, the color, it's a lot easier to shop.
Yeah, you framed it really well with me as well. You said, you know, of course everyone wants Bluetooth, nice cup holders, all of this. You said, give me your three. I cannot live without. Mm-hmm. It has to be in my car features. Mm-hmm. And give me three things about your car you really didn't like. And from there, you kind of were able to pick out five or six. And then you kind of said from there, I want it in your court now. I don't want to influence your decision. Like, you know, try these out and then come back to me. I like how you kind of left it with us to decide what the personal choice was.
All right. So then now in the actual purchase process. So how did the purchase process go for each of you, kind of broadly, I guess? How would you describe how the purchase process went?
Spectacular. a feature of Jesse is that when this process starts, you will get he's like a real estate agent. You have to know about every deal in the making. So he will let you know every dealer he reached out to, what they're offering, if he thinks that's lowballing, if it could be better, if he thinks that it's the wrong strategy. So I got frequent notifications. And of course, with when we bought the car, it was just dealers trying to bid out other dealers. So at some points they kept saying, give me what your best is and I'll come down lower, which is not a Jesse favorite. So I'm glad we went with who we did, which was someone that gave the best offer they could, not knowing any other numbers. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the whole idea of having somebody as your advocate contacting the dealerships for you on your behalf takes so much pressure off. And then to Stephanie's point, you know, my big thing was, you know, open communication. I would tell that to everybody that I work with and my friends. It's great when you know everything. And boy, did we know everything. You know, there was not a step that was missed. And I would look forward to your emails, quite honestly, you know, and go through them and just how detailed they were and knowing a little bit about how you worked when you helped Stephanie, Jesse, and how, you know, you were just so professional in going to each of the dealerships. And also, seeing how some of them would, you know, would lower their price, some would drop out, some would decline to bid, and just kind of seeing that, but from the safety of the sidelines. Mm-hmm. So I got to enjoy the game, but I never got to get hurt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would say, one reflection from the two different transactions, I'd say with Stephanie's, kind of in an era where there was a lot of inventory and a lot of selection of things that you could pick up immediately, it was honestly quite a bit easier to get people to respond and to get people to show. Whereas I think today, in today's environment, there's a new layer of difficulty, I think, mm-hmm. in today's environment, because it's not just price or markup, no markup. It's also, there's a timing issue. So you might see that, some dealers will have something today, some dealers won't have something for 6 weeks. And I know Jeff and Maria, you guys waited quite a bit for your new car. And so what was the waiting period like?
Well, fortunately, we weren't in immediate need for a car because we still had the minivan. But it was actually delivered exactly when you said it was going to be delivered. So, you know, the one good thing was that there were no surprises. We knew exactly what the cost was. We knew exactly how much to put down. I mean, there was just kind of very easy, financially transactionable. But as far as when the car was going to be delivered, we did not believe it was going to be delivered the week it was. Yes. And then when you notified us, it's like, oh, well, we're not quite ready, because we were going to pay cash. So it's like, wait a minute, I got to get this money out of my Vanguard account and bring it to the bank. And, you know, so anyway, we were a little nervous that they were actually going to sell the car out from under us, but they didn't, which was good, because we said, look, we can get, you know, this was like a Friday. We said, we'll be there Wednesday. So
right.
Like, okay, yeah, no problem.
Yeah. I couldn't believe that in this day and age, when someone said the car will be delivered in July,
and my, that specific week.
Too. Right. And that specific week, my thinking was July of next year, maybe, you know,
or at
and
2 weeks.
The fact that, you know, everybody kind of came through and, you know, everything that was as promised was a very pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or we were expecting a different color or something, you know, it's like, we're going to take it anyway, you know? So no, it was exactly the color of, you know, the model, the trim package.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And, you know, everything was as they said it was going to be.
Yeah. And we are very fortunate. And actually I didn't think the waiting was all that long.
No.
You know, we expected even more. And, you know, and like Maria said, since we live in the city, we don't really need a car all that dramatically right now, all that quickly. So for us, it was not that big a deal. Mm-hmm.
They're also failing to mention they're in my condo, which is two floors above them. Every now and then they might have borrowed my car.
Maybe.
All right. So now the secret is out. Maria and I live two floors below Stephanie.
So it cuts both ways, right? So you could borrow their car too, Stephanie.
Absolutely.
Yes. No way. Let that happen. We did get a little test drive though around the parking deck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Incredible. Yeah. I love this car.
So yeah. Okay. So it sounds like everything went pretty well when you went out to go pick up your car. So, especially for Jeff and Maria, but also for Stephanie, as you think about how the experience has changed over the past few years, I mean, what advice do you have for anybody who's listening, thinking about buying a car right now? Just any general advice about how things went?
I would say do your research first, of course. But again, my mind was closed a lot to the new car area. So I would say when you do your research, do both used and new cars, and you might be surprised. Now, again, I don't know that much about them as far as maybe different models. There's more of a price gap between used and new, but you won't know until you look. Mm-hmm. So do your research first and have a really good idea about what you want. Pick, you know, four or five of the cars you like and go to different dealerships and try them.
Mm-hmm. Well, the one thing I thought was unhelpful was asking my friends if they liked their car, because every one of them said yes. So that's not the way to go.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. So I think the way to go really is just kind of, you know, stay focused, make sure, you know, your priorities are taken care of in the, you know, in the purchase of your car, and, you know, yeah, and be open and flexible to other possibilities or, you know, other upgrades that you may not have thought about initially.
I think on the note of flexibility, especially now, it's important to be flexible on your timeline. Mm-hmm. We've kind of re-entered the car market again as David's looking for a new car. And we had the experience of coming to a dealership. And, you know, as we test drove the car, we finished, they said, do you want it? Because if not, the couple standing outside of this car right now is buying it. So, you know, be flexible on if you want to buy something very quickly or if you want to wait a little long to get it shipped mm-hmm. overseas.
Yeah.
And so, now reflecting on the whole, so related to that, what kind of after you had bought your car, was there anything that you wished you had known now that you had wished you had known when you started?
Now, you're very good in informing us about every step. I got to say, though, I did not expect to be at the dealership for as long as we were that day when we picked it up. The reason I think mostly they had printer issues or something. And, you know, there's different people that come in that are trying to, upsell you, mm-hmm. you know, some of the other, I don't even remember, it was like, I guess extended warranties and things like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so by the time we got out of there, I'm like, oh my God, I got to eat something. I was like, you know, so that part was the long part I was not expecting. But the good news is that the showroom that we were at also had the waiting room for the service area. It was all connected.
Yeah.
So they had water, they had coffee, they had TV, they had newspapers, but I got a chance to talk to other CX-5 owners that were bringing their car in for whatever reason. So one woman said, yeah, I bought it from here 2018. I love my car. And I don't remember why it was there, but it might've been just maintenance, but you know, we got to talk to other Mazda owners as well.
I also think that one of the reasons we were there a little longer than average was that this was the first car that we had that didn't either have an 8-track, a cassette, or a CD player. So that took longer because my wife and I were like, well, what's that?
Yeah,
what's that do?
How do we get SiriusXM?
What's that mean? Right. Yeah. So we bombarded this person who was very nice and very patient with us. Because we went from like a horse and buggy to like the space shuttle, it feels like. Yeah.
For me, you know, once I finally decided on a new car, I kind of thought, you know, a Corolla is a Corolla is a Corolla, but you kind of taught me that the dealerships also matter and they mm-hmm. offer their own perks and specials. Mm-hmm. So I also love my dealership, which I will be going back to at least for every free oil change I will get for the rest of my car's
yes,
life.
We got that too.
Yes. So just to pay attention to dealerships as well. Don't just purchase one far away if that's the best price. Keep in mind that someone close to you might also have some deals.
I think Stephanie's dealership has like massage chairs.
Yeah, I love my dealership.
I want to go to the fire pit. Just to hang
always HGTV on.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right. Great. Yeah. I think one big thing is that the car buying process has changed and it'll continue to change, kind of going forward. And there's an increasing push to do more of the transaction online to the extent possible. And so I guess looking forward, the next time that you're going to buy a car, how much are you willing to do online? So I guess if we think about the traditional go and visit a dealership and you go back and forth is kind of one extreme in person. And then the other extreme is maybe Tesla's, you click a button and then 10 months or 12 months later, a car shows up, I guess. Mm-hmm. How do you think your own comfort level with that spectrum will evolve?
The Tesla one, the online one. I never want to speak to a person at a dealership if I don't have to. I had a different experience where no one tried to upcharge me. Not sure if it was because of my age or because I was just on the base model, but I felt like we were in and out, no extra talking. Mm-hmm. I gave them money, they gave me a car. It was perfect. Mm-hmm. If I could do it all online too, I would.
The only problem with the online is how do you test drive the car?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, other than that, I mean, like, you know, if after we've test drove the cars that we test drove and we knew we wanted the Mazda. I mean, I'm very comfortable going online and buying it, but up to that point, though, I think we still need people, and you know, we have to get in the car. How would they handle the test driving part if you did it all online?
Yeah, so I think what's interesting is Tesla, they do offer test drives, but it's disconnected from the purchase process. So you go to a Tesla, I think it's like a studio or, you know, some fancy term for a store. And then you drive this car, they send you out by yourself and you drive this car. And then when you come back, you just hand them the keys and you leave. And then if you're interested in buying something, then you go online separately and click around. So I think that is how, that's one way to handle it. The other way that some dealers have handled it is to offer a return policy. So think of somebody like a Carvana or a CarMax. They offer various return policies to accommodate buying a car completely sight unseen. Of course, there's some administrative work with a return policy, but I think that's the other way that the dealers are trying to make the process less in person and more more digital.
Well, and I don't want to waste time for us or them,
right? We're
not needed. So the whole transactional part is really, I'm very comfortable with the online.
And I don't really care how the new process is going, because I'm just going to use Jesse for the next 20 years. So, you know, whether things change or not, I won't have to keep track because I'm going to keep using you. So it'll be easy for me.
All right. Well, thank you for coming on the podcast. It's been really wonderful having you on, and I'm really glad that you all love your cars. And we'll have to have you back on the podcast sometime.
Great.
We would love it.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for inviting us, Jesse.
And now it's time for a short break. We'll hear from our sponsors, and we'll share some information about how to submit a listener question. The Company Cars podcast is sponsored by Rejected Conjectures Incorporated, a division of Integrated Derivatives. If you have a question that you want answered on the show, write us an email at companycarspodcast@gmail.com. And now it's time for Rental Car Roulette. And so on this segment of Rental Car Roulette, we are revisiting a previous car that I've reviewed before, and this is a Ford Edge. And so we discussed the Ford Edge in an earlier episode, I think in January 2021, where I rented a Ford Edge that was from pre-pandemic eras to drive around Austin and share my thoughts. But now I've rented a 2022 Ford Edge, and this was a Ford Edge Titanium, so this was a fully loaded Ford Edge. And for 2022, Ford updated the car and instituted some mild changes to freshen up the car for a little bit as it ages into through its life cycle. And so these changes have shaped my beliefs about the car a little bit, and also driving a Titanium instead of the SEL that I drove previously have shaped my thoughts. And so this car was pretty nice to drive in the heat of the summer. It was also refreshing to drive a brand new car. So this car only had about 300 miles on the odometer, which I think is an all-time record for newest car I've driven from Hertz since the start of the pandemic. And so it's pretty tough to find brand new cars because Hertz is buying fewer of them compared to previous years. And so this Titanium had ventilated seats, which was super useful in Texas in the summer, and it had a giant tablet-like screen, kind of like an imitation of the big Tesla screen, instead of buttons and hard knobs to control everything. And so I think the touchscreen worked reasonably well. One thing that was annoying was when I wanted to use Android Auto with the car, it only used about half the screen. And so in essence, even though there was this giant screen, I was only using about half of it for Android Auto and to show Google Maps and stuff. And so that was kind of annoying, but I did like how in the gauge cluster, I could see what was going on in my Android Auto. And so this was also on the 2019 car. And so I think Ford over the years has had a lot of time to think about how their infotainment system works, because They were one of the early adopters of kind of a software-based infotainment system. And so the car was otherwise reasonably fine. I didn't get that great gas mileage, unfortunately, with this version because I was doing mostly around town driving and this was a pretty large car. But otherwise, the air conditioning worked really well. The ventilated seats, I think, were designed for a larger person because the areas of the seat that were ventilated were a bit wider than I normally sit in a car. And so I had to change my seating position a little bit to position my legs right above the ventilated portions, which is critical in the summer because otherwise I would have burned my legs. And so in that sense, I think the Edge is maybe not quite as great for really small drivers. And I guess I'm on the relatively small side. And so I think in that sense, it's probably better for taller drivers. So, but overall, the car continues to be a good choice. I think the car was a much more compelling purchase when there were massive rebates. So before the pandemic, and even during 2020 and early 2021, it was pretty common to get $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000 off a Ford Edge, and that just doesn't happen anymore. So at MSRP, I think it's maybe much less of a deal than it used to be, but it's still a very compelling five-seater midsize SUV, and if Ford added some hybrid powertrains, I think it would make it even more compelling. But I think the Edge is one of those cars that everybody forgets about, even Ford, and so the fact that they updated it for 2022 was already pretty impressive, instead of just phasing it out and letting it sunset. For Ford, I think at this point, a lot of the R&D work that went into the redesigned Edge when it came out around 2016 have already paid off, and so at this point, any units they sell is just incremental profit for them. Because all the R&D has long been paid off. And so I expect to see the Edge stick around the lineup for a little bit until Ford transitions more of its lineup to all electric vehicles. And at that point, I would expect Ford to discontinue the Edge. But overall, it's a great car, often forgotten. And if you're looking for a five-seater crossover, I think I would choose this over a lot of its competitors, like the Nissan Murano and Honda Passport. I don't think are quite as interesting as the Ford Edge, in my opinion. But it all kind of depends on what you're looking for. And so overall, yeah, it was a great rental car. It was well-equipped, easy to drive, had a lot of features, and it was brand new. And so if you see one in the rental car aisle at Hertz and you're deciding between it and someone else, know that it's a pretty good pick, especially if you're going to drive long distances with your rental car. And that's going to wrap it up for this episode of Company Cars. Thank you for listening, and as always, if you have a question, email us at companycarspodcast@gmail.com.